Thank you, Lord, for another night of fellowship with all my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, for knitting our hearts together in one accord. And thank you, Lord, that you're pulling it tight now. We're all getting in one accord with you. And we just praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for all the great testimonies and praise reports that we get. And Lord, we thank you for the prayers that we've answered that are being answered even as we speak. And I thank you for it, Father. I ask, Father, for revival to start in this country, in wherever. It'd be nice to start right here, Lord, and then go from here all over the world. I know there's a mini revival over in the Middle East going on right now, and that's awesome, Lord, and we thank you for that. We ask and we pray, Father, your protection upon those people in those countries that are taking the gospel out to their Muslim brothers and sisters. And Father, we thank you that it is a true revival going on over there. They finally get to see the love of Christ rather than the hate of a God that doesn't like anybody. And Father, we thank you for that. They've only known hate and killing and all that stuff all their life, and they finally find a God that really loves them and cares for them. And Lord, they're just turning to you right and left. And I know that you have your Holy Spirit working in those countries in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. We don't, and those that we don't know about, there's revivals going on, Lord. We praise you for that too, Lord. We ask and we pray that those revivals that are going on underground that nobody knows about are spreading like wildfire, Lord, in these days, these dark days that are ahead of us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all of your chosen across the world. We praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for our personal prayers being answered for our household salvation for all of our families. Lord, we believe and we thank you for it, Father. We know that we prayed the prayer of faith for each and every one of them, and now we just thank you for it because we know they're coming in. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your anointing upon everybody here tonight to reveal what you've given them these last few days. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night. And Father, we ask your continued presence with all of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for this great fellowship we have here with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, gosh, got six people waiting. All right, I think I'm caught up now. Oh, here comes Barbara. All right. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Okay, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yes, for our daughter Victory and her situation with three kids. And anyway, so the father of the last two kids, who has been helping to support the family, lost his job. So he's been driving Uber, and so he kind of likes it, I guess, and he's doing okay at it. But just to keep them in prayer, by him losing that job, then Victory is going to be out. She had some support money that was coming out automatically out of his check towards, the children, but that's going to be stopped. So she's concerned about that, whether he's going to help out or not. And so it puts her in a tight spot. Could be financially. And also she had a card that someone gave her, but she lost it. I won't go into all the details, but she doesn't have the car now. And also she's going to be starting to have to teach her kids at home. Well, Jonah, who's a 7-year-old, a special needs child, and so it's going to be a challenge for her in the days ahead. I think that's it. But we lift up Victory to you. We know that these things aren't accidents, and you're involved, and you're there for her, Father. We encourage her always to seek you and to put you first and seek you. And so we just help her in this. Give her the faith, Father, the faith of our Lord Jesus, and then grant her the grace to be obedient, to obey you, Father. We just thank you for that. So just help her, God. Help her in her life situation. Just help her and provide for her. We trust you to provide for her. The vehicle, we've been praying for a van for her for a couple of years now, and we just receive it. We just command that van to come to her free, or that someone will give it to her. Be a blessing to her, and we just thank you, Father. We thank you for that provision. It helped Jonah, especially with the learning, and he's got a very, very short attention span, so just help with that whole situation. Just help, God, and we thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we hook our faith up with Denny and Debbie.
Yes,
and Lord, we just thank you for healing Jonah completely.
Wicking him.
And Lord, yes, we just believe it. We're going to stand on it. We command that infirmity off of him right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you that Jonah's attention span is like every other normal child. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
For that work you're doing in him right now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Okay, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else? Is that all, Denny? You got some more?
Yeah. Well, I pray for Junior, too. He's from Cuba, and seemed like a pretty, an okay guy in a lot of ways. He doesn't speak English, so he only speaks Spanish. So she speaks a little Spanish, so there's a communication thing they have. So interesting to see how this works out with him. So just bless Junior, God. I know his brother, he has a brother that's saved, and we pray that he would just really grab a hold of you, Lord God, and turn to you. Help him, Lord, if he's to learn English, that you would help him in this. So just bless them, Father, and help Victory learn Spanish. And we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. See.
I just wanted to share that when I was thinking about all these things with Victory tonight before we got on, and getting really kind of anxiousness wanted to come in me because of all her problems, needing a car and the money situation, and now she might have to move. He's thinking he might have to move in with Junior, and because he built a house. Anyway, just so many things. And then teaching Jonah. And I thought, well, we got to ask for prayer tonight. And I know we all know this, but it just came an extra special revelation to me from the Lord that just that covering of prayer is going to do it. Not just for me, but all of us. If we know that covering of prayer is that's it. I just felt like, yes, that's it. You know, and just, I just felt that I knew that God would give me a peace and give us all the peace we need when we want to get a little bit anxious of things. That asking for prayer, I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about, but I just had this little revelation come into me that, yeah, that's it, and I'm agreeing for prayer, and we're somebody that the prayers are going to be answered, and so just I'm easily get into, get anxious over things, and when it comes to my kids. So I thank God that he gave me that peace. Thank you all for being there, and I'm glad we can all pray for one another.
Amen.
Real blessing.
Amen. Lord, we believe our prayers are always answered. And we pray them one time, and then from then on, we just thank you, Lord, because we know it's being done even as we speak, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing all those prayers for us. Praise you, Father. Amen. And I believe Denny and Debbie's prayers are being answered too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your covering, your blood covering over them, in the name of Jesus. Well, hi, Missy. You go ahead.
Hey, you know, yesterday I was thinking about some things concerning Kurt and Brooke and the baby, and Kurt had mentioned to me that with Brooke not working and all, and not having as much money, that they might have to eventually go to
help your sister pack with those colors.
Children. And but anyway, so I was concerned about that and praying about that and all, and just seeing how, oh my gosh, kids nowadays, they gotta have the best of everything, whether they got the money or not. You know, I mean, it's almost that bad, you know, concerning the baby and just a lot of stuff. And anyway, so, and then today, Michael and David mentions about how they've seen that people are having, they're starting the debt forgiveness now. And it took me a little bit, you know, but it was just like, oh, wow, yeah. So, so Father, I just want to pray about that. Lord, I ask you that this debt forgiveness would come through for Kurt and Brooke, you know, at least to begin, so that they don't have to go to WIC, you know. Because if they have their mortgage forgiven and their car debt forgiven and school loan forgiven, geez, that's a lot. So I ask you, Lord, to do that, Lord. And I told them about it. I've been telling them about it and just telling them some things, Lord, that I've seen that are starting to come about that I've been telling them about, you know, as far as economics and different things like that. And so I just praise you, Lord, for the things that you're doing, Lord, for the sake of your people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace for all of us and especially our children and family members, Lord. But Lord, just use it to draw them to you, Lord, and put in their hearts to understand that all these things they desire, the things of the world, the material things, Lord, don't satisfy. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing to and going to do. It's really going to get your elect's attention. And yes, like Debbie said, our prayers are being answered, Lord. Our prayers are being answered. And even if we can't see it, Lord, just to rest and believe.
Uh-oh. She's been taken out again. Missy, we can't hear you. But Lord, we just hook our faith up with Missy, and we just thank you, Lord, for answering her prayers in Jesus' name, ever what they are. Thank you, Lord.
And we cast that demon of freezing up out of her phone and any communication that she has. We loose it and make it free, and it's going to work without problems. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We come across all of these demons that are trying to interrupt our fellowship. We command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, get out of our communications equipment right now in the name of Jesus. We bind you and cast you out. In Jesus' name. The Lord said, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. You're bound and you're cast in Jesus' name. So go. All right. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, how about a testimony or a praise report? Does everybody know what she's talking about, what Missy was talking about the debt forgiveness, jubilee? I know the what does that mean?
Expound on it for us, would you?
Yeah.
It means have some cake.
Yeah, pass the cake. Anyway, we saw some articles in Operation Disclosure where they're saying that all mortgages, student loans, credit card debts will be forgiven. Let's see what else. There was something else too. Income tax will not be, there won't be any more income tax. What do they call it? Payroll tax. They call it. That payroll tax is gone for the rest of this year to the first of the year. And Trump said in the second speech after he forgave that for the end of the year, he said, well, come January, I think I'll just go ahead and do away with it altogether. What he's wanting to go to is I've heard figures all over the place, but the one I keep hearing is 17% flat tax on new items, nothing on used items, nothing on groceries, nothing on your drugs or medical supplies. What'd Barry do? I gotta see here. Absolutely. We need that wave offering. Amen. That's what Julie was doing, wasn't she? Amen. But anyway, that's essentially what it is. And I believe, folks, that's going to happen in a lot of places in the world. I believe that's going to happen all over the world. So anyway, and I'll tell you something else that you may not know. The United States went over to the Vatican, went through that place, got the kids out from under the Vatican, got them out of there, got the money out of there and brought it back to Fort Knox with a 650 planes. That's how much money they had. They filled up Fort Knox with that. Now, that's not all. That's just, they're talking quadrillions of money. It's not little bitty stuff. It's just stuff that's going to change everything. As Trump keeps going through, you know, these things. Yeah, Judy.
Was that cargo planes, like military cargo planes? Because those things are gigantic, and they would have to be powerful enough to carry a lot of weight like that. Because a lot of it was gold, wasn't it?
He didn't say, the article didn't say, but David said, you know, maybe he used the chemtrail planes. which would be good because they hold a lot. But anyway,
remember Obama sent billions over to Iran and in the cargo plane she's talking about.
Yeah, Trump got that back, by the way. Yeah, he got all that back, or whatever was left of it back. But we're looking at a jubilee, it looks like, coming up. And we're going to see. Of course, you don't know what we know that God's got some things planned also. And it's not going to be probably as smooth as a lot of people would like to think. Oh, I know he's told us about some things that are fixing to happen. Yeah, that's right, Greg. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I'll be so just. Thank you, Lord. All right.
And I'll be just up.
Okay. Amen. How's it going, Dave?
Oh, good. What's up?
Oh, not much, man. Just Jesus. And he is a lot, though. He's a lot. Yeah, it's going to be a great time for the Christians who are true Christians, who are disciples of Christ. It's going to be an awesome time. Yep. The deep state is being brought down big time. Yeah, they are. The swamp is drained almost. They have arrested at least 1,000 people already. Politicians, judges, Hollywood elites. You know, they've arrested a lot of people. A lot of them, what I understand, what we've read, is that for these satanic worshipers that are killing kids, they're not giving them but two options. Either the electric chair, or you turn and tell us what you know and be good from now on and you'll get a life sentence, a life. From now on, you stay in jail. At least you get to keep your life. That's what he's doing. That's what Trump is doing to the pedophiles and the satanic worshipers that have been killing these kids. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Anybody got any comments or anything to add or any prayers? I'd like to pray one prayer right quick if I can. Lord, thank you so much for these men that you've got in power. Thank you so much for giving them the wisdom, the fortitude, and the backbone to get this job done. You knew who you were picking when you picked them, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you have closed out. I heard Trump say yesterday, 96% of the human trafficking has been stopped. And Father, we just praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Glory, hallelujah. Because they have closed those tunnels down and have arrested the people that were involved in it. And Father, you are so awesome for doing that and helping those children out. Some of those children, Lord, as you know, have never seen the light of day. And they're having to be brought out and just babied and all that. I don't know, Lord, but you do. And I thank you, Father, for bringing them into your knowledge and that the people that take care of them, Lord, let them all be Christians and giving out the gospel. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. They haven't known anything but mayhem and murder and watching their brothers and sisters being killed and eaten. It's just unimaginable things, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you just wipe it out of their mind. Just give them a clean brain, Lord. Just give them a clean slate, something that will just erase their mind from the things that they've seen. And I praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody got another prayer request or praise report or a testimony? That's a pretty good one right there, boy. Debt relief or debt gone. Okay. Missy, we prayed for you. We prayed you back in, girl.
How much did I even get anything out of my mouth?
Oh, yeah, we heard it all. That's fine. We heard it all. Almost all of it.
Anyway, our Wi-Fi has been giving us problems here lately.
Not anymore.
So nope. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to have any more problems in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Yeah.
I like to pray just us just binding the demons and these children.
Okay.
Oh God, I just pray, Lord, that your people all over the world that know what's going on, Lord God, and are hearing what's going on and the rescue of them, Lord, joining us, we all together, we just bind the demons, Lord, that have entered these children, what they've gone through, they've taken hold of them, God, holding them and tormenting them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we just command every demon bound from them, Father, in Jesus' name, to loose them and let go of them, Lord. We command them out of them. We command them to go from these children and other older ones and adults, Lord, that these demons just be bound in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would give us bold faith to believe and receive this, Lord, and that your people over the world just bind together, God, in binding these demons. We thank you that it's done, Lord, so these people and these children can be helped, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for these children. In Jesus' name, glory to God, glory to God, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for love surrounding them now. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Lana.
I wanted to share kind of a testimony and a praise report. We are getting ready to go camping this weekend. And it'll be actually multiple families from Theo's side of the family. And we decided to try to persuade my father-in-law to come along as well. Theo's mom is always willing to go, but she's homebound because of dad, because he's sick. And we talked to mom and said, hey mom, here's what we can do for dad. Let's go. And so the next morning he calls me and says, Lana, you better cancel all your plans. I am completely against this trip. There's way too many negatives for me to go. And I said, Dad, I've already researched everything. You should be able to go. You'll have a good time. There's handicap access. He said, nope. I said, you better talk to Theo. Theo was at work at the time. And so I hung up and I just started praying against all of it, because most of what he told me was just a bunch of excuses. He's just scared because of his health. And I just started praying against it. And by that evening, he was talking to mom as if he was going. And so we were so glad. And I told mom about it, and she was so glad. It was a testimony to her that I was praying down all the doubt and the double-mindedness. He, of course, tried once again. The doubt came flooding in. And this morning, he tried to cancel on us again. And Theo made arrangements. He's going. So we're hanging on in faith that he won't change his mind, because he doesn't get out very often, and it's going to be a great time. We have very little time left for great times. So we're praying that things go well and that we have no trouble and dad's health continues to hold up.
Okay. Y'all going to lake?
What's that?
You going to a lake?
We're actually going to a state park where they have a big old trout stream for trout fishing.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to do a bunch of fishing.
I love trout. That was one of my best fishing deals, was trout fishing. I love that.
Yeah, Theo's dad loves it too, but he's so scared. He doesn't have faith in himself and his health. He's like, I don't want to be a burden. And I said, Dad, I'm casting it all down.
Amen. Hey, Lord, we just hook our faith up with Theo and Lana. We thank you, Lord, that Theo's dad is going to have a great time while he's there. Lord, I ask and I pray that you give him a big fish to catch. Let that fish come out of there, Lord, and it's just going to be the biggest fish of the day. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Let him just have a great, wonderful time, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Father. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that testimony. Big old fish. I want to see if Phil's going to, expand that fish out a little bit. Oh boy.
Is that trout fishing with a fly rod? Or?
Yeah, Theo taught me how to fly fish, so we're going to
do okay. Fly fish.
I can't say as much for Dad. It'll probably be a rod and reel in his case, but yeah. Either way, it'll be fun.
He'll have fun. Amen. Yeah, I used to get my fly rod and hit that White River. Okay, anyone else? That's a lot of fun. Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
I just want to say to Lana and Theo, I just saw your dad just basking in the sun, and the sun with righteousness, you know, in its wings, healing him. So, yeah, just praying for that and thanking the Lord for that.
Praise to God. He is ready. He's ready for his healing. He is.
Thank you.
Long time coming.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Woohoo. All right. Yeah, Missy.
Could I please share something quick? Could I please share?
Nobody's saying yes, so I guess not. I don't know, you know. It's just go ahead, Missy. Are you going to share it on the screen? Is this something you're going to share? On the screen.
Yeah, on the screen.
Oh, okay.
You need to give me permission. Tell me.
I knew that was coming. Hang on, give me a second here. Okay, go ahead.
Oops. That was weird. Okay, it's acting stupid. Mm-hmm. The share screen, and it's not. The share button doesn't want to come up for me. Okay, there it goes.
Okay. That's not.
Okay.
Isn't this
the cutest little baby, Kyle? Look at her smile.
She is just a smile. She's a pretty little baby.
See how she has her arm crossed? Look at her tiny little piggies.
Oh, my goodness.
She has her daddy's feet.
She's kicked back, isn't she? She's laid back.
Oh, my gosh. Brooks.
Hey, girl.
Look at them feet. She has her daddy's long fingers and toes.
She's got some big feet.
Okay, I'm done.
She's got some big feet.
Okay, I get back to my Zoom picture. Ah, come on, stop.
Stop share. Right at, there you go.
There we go.
You got it.
Sorry,
okay,
go back
for
again.
Torture
you see there was a password. We didn't catch it.
Didn't come across, did it? It'll be there tomorrow,
recording.
Greg.
Anyway, I got back today from spending the week with them.
Maybe. Hey, Will.
I hated to go. Oh, I was just like, couldn't stop kissing her. Okay, I'm done. Man. I'll shut up now.
Praise the Lord. I know how you feel, Missy. I do the same thing with those grandkids of mine. Hi, Will. How's it going, brother?
Yeah, thank you for the photos, Missy. No, thank you, Michael. It's going well. It's going awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Not easy on the flesh, but awesome, awesome in the spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I just have a little testimony here. Last night I was listening to the Bible study. It was I was in bed, and I fell asleep. But all of a sudden, I woke up, and Michael, you were given Gertrude's testimony. I remember when you had read that years ago. It's been a long time, but I'd never forgotten it. I just felt like there was an angel that came and woke me up and said, wake up, you need to hear this. And I was just, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. It was such an encouragement. And I just wanted to thank the Lord for putting that on your heart. I believe all of that. I believe that we're right there. I believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And everything He's promised us is ours. And the sweet word that the Lord spoke through Debbie Finske, that has really, really blessed me. And I can attest to that the Lord's been giving me gentle admonitions of, you know, you need to repent of this, or this thing's been parked in your life, or, you know, it's kind of inactive, but go ahead and cast this out, get rid of this. And, but also the loving encouragements. Last night and a couple of nights ago, I've just felt like, you know, I just wake up off and on through the night, and I would just feel so much the presence of the Lord and the love of the Lord. And a lot of times I get up at night for a bit, and I just cannot tell you guys how often I see the numbers 144. So I just wanted to thank the Lord. He is so good. He's so faithful. He is such a mighty God. And I believe, I know some of us have been in hard trials for a long time, but, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't think I'd be, you know, where I am today in my walk with the Lord without Him. You know, I can see why James says, count it all joy. I've learned to be thankful in the trials. Sometimes I feel like I kind of lack in the counting it all joy, but I know that we're there. And anyway, I just wanted to praise the Lord. And I'm thankful, Michael, that the Lord put that on your heart last night to share that.
Yep, that was a good one. It's a faith builder. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, Debbie.
I just wanted to attest to that because it was wonderful. We heard it today, too. I didn't go with the others when they heard it, Don and Marlene's, but heard it again today. Denny heard it again today, and I listened. And you know, I shared that one with you that you shared, Michael, with a few people to really encourage them, lift their faith and stuff. And David's with I have to do a few less than what I did share that one with, because they're, you know, it was like they would receive and the teaching and man-child stuff. But it was. I wanted to say the same thing, Marilyn. I wanted to say how great that was. It was just so awesome. I couldn't believe it. So.
Yeah.
I did believe it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Amen. So,
yeah, thank you.
That was an awesome testimony. There was another one with it too, if y'all remember, about the guy that died and his wife sat down she was kneeling down at the bed, and they told her that he was dead. She said, no, he's not dead, because my prayer hasn't been answered yet. He wasn't saved, and I prayed to the Lord that he be saved. And he wasn't saved, so he's not dead yet. He's not gone. They sat there for hours and hours and hours, and they kept telling him. Seven doctors came in and said, ma'am, your husband's dead. She said, no, he's not dead. God is, he's just, what she say? She said, he hadn't been saved yet, and he's not to die until he's saved. So he's not dead yet. And she was sitting there, and she asked one of the nurses, she said, could you bring me a couple of pillows? This was after a few hours, was on her knees in the bedroom or in the hospital bed on the floor. And so yeah, I said, yes, ma'am. So they brought her a couple of pillows, and boy, she laid in. She laid in. Now, she wasn't praying or anything. She was just waiting on her husband to wake up. And I think it was on the 13th hour. I think it was the 13 hours. He woke up. And she saw him, you know, and she said, what would you like to do, honey? He said, I want to go home. So just like nothing happened, he got up, got dressed, and the doctors came running in there, you know, and they were saying, you can't go. You have to stay here for 30 days. And anyway, you'll die if you leave here. She told him, she said, look, you've had your chance with him, and you let him die. Now it's God's turn. Get out of the way. We're going home. So he went home. The guy lived for years after that. Years after that. And he, of course, he came to Christ, and he was a good man for God. He was a good witness for God. I was the one that was with that one. I didn't have time to do it. So anyway, it was a good one. All right. Anybody else? Hey, we're going to see that kind of stuff. We're going to see that kind of stuff. All we have, you know, I learned from those type of testimonies. Years ago, the Lord told a friend of mine, he said, go get Michael, and y'all go pray for that young man that was killed in a car wreck. It was two young men that were killed in a car wreck, and they were teenagers. And he told us to go up there to the funeral home. Now, I was just a new Christian, but I'd seen a lot of miracles during this time. And so we went up there, and we started praying for those boys. We didn't know anything about raising the dead. We knew praying, you know. We knew how to pray and ask faith for. We stayed there for hours praying in the Spirit and praying for those boys, and we just gave up. You know, we stayed there probably a couple of hours, I think. And years later, I got to thinking about that and asking the Lord about that. I said, why did you have me go up there? And he brought to my mind some of these testimonies that I'd heard of people enduring in their faith to the end. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to, when he asks us to do something, he's going to perform a miracle. We have to. He's testing us too, to see that we stay with the faith and stay with it, you know. The same guy that I went up there with died, and I wanted so much to go in there and pray him back to life. He was my best friend, and his wife wouldn't let me go in there. And boy, I'll tell you what, anyway, praise God. Enduring in your faith will get miracles. Okay, Will, go ahead, brother.
Michael, I was wondering if we could, I can put in a special request if we can listen to a song or on YouTube.
Sure.
One song would be nice.
Yeah. What is it?
No, I don't have anything. you can choose.
Oh, you want to hear a song? Somebody find a song for Will. I'm trying to think of a good one. Anybody know of a good song? I do.
seeing the new one that's kind of cool.
Okay.
But let's see if I can find it.
I was listening to a line of Judah motivational thing earlier, and I had it on the share screen when everybody was coming in. It was about the David and Goliath deal. I love that story. Talk about the giants in your life, you know.
That looks like a bunch of junk there.
What is that? Go ahead and share it, Dave. Just go ahead and get it and share it. You know how to do that, don't you?
A little bit. Just a minute. I got to bring it up and everything.
Hey, you girls, what is going on over there? The three amigos. Y'all are having way too much fun over there now. We had a few of the ladies come over today and clean the house for us. And boy, that was awesome. I'll tell you, I just get so, me and David, the way we clean house, we open the doors and take our leaf blower and just blow everything out the door, you know. You got to start it, Dave.
To bring me back home.
A good one. I like that. It's simple. It was. I liked it.
Heard yeah, well, so glad when I came across it the other day. Beautiful song.
What happened to Will? Bless Will, Lord. Thank you, Father. Here you come. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I just got a text from my cousin because I've been wanting to pray for her granddaughter, and I didn't know really what the problem was. And she just sent it to me. The girl's name is McKenna, and she's in high school, but she's had this, it's a severe adolescence. Yes, that's irritable bowel syndrome. I know she has a lot of stomach pains and stuff. Her parents have had to come and get her from school a lot of different times. And I know she's in a lot of pain. She said it can't be controlled by medication and the insurance won't pay for the treatment she needs at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So I just want to pray for her and pray about that. So Lord, I lift McKenna up to you and her family. I ask you, they don't have to go to this Cincinnati Children's Hospital that their insurance won't pay for, because we know that you're the healer, so you can just take care of it and heal this adolescent IBS. Just heal her and make her body whole and let her know that you did it. Let her and her family and her grandma and grandpa know that you're the one that healed her. Oh, Lord, that will be so awesome. So thank you. I know that you've done it, and you're the healer. So we praise you, and we thank you so much for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we come against all the symptoms of pain and
yes,
irritation and irregularity.
Yes.
Come against all those symptoms. We tell those demons, Lord, to go from her body. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Do you have something, Sarah?
Oh, Sue had a...
I sent Michael a song on your text.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to do it on the iPad. I don't know how to put it on.
So I sent it on your text.
Yeah. You mind if we wait till next Thursday to do that? To do all the songs? Huh?
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got some things we got to do tonight. I did that because of Will. Let me finish this text here. Look, I will send Debbie's word from the Lord after we get off. I had to make myself a note. I forgot to do it the other night, and I apologize for that. I have a mind like a steel trap, just the trap was not sprung. So I'll do it afterwards tonight. I know, Debbie. I'll do it tonight after the conference call. Okay. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. I know all of y'all looked her up and looked up all of her name, what they mean. And she
is. Yeah,
we're
still trapped too.
What, Sue?
I said we have a steel trap too. Some of us forgot.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna mute y'all. That's okay, Judy. I did it. Okay, Mary Magdalene. What David told me, that she was a disciple, and did anybody look up what her name meant? Magdalene and Mary. Yeah, Julie.
Mary means rebellion, and Magdalene means tower of greatness, or tower greatness,
woman of tower, woman in the tower or something. Yeah,
tower and greatness, I think, is what I came up with.
Mary also meant something else. Did anybody have something else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Doesn't it also mean bitterness?
Yeah. It also means something else. Bitterness, rebellion, and one other thing, I believe. Anybody have that other? I'll have to get my other computer if y'all don't.
Oh, also means beloved.
Yeah.
Wished for child, marine, drop of the sea.
What was that last one saying?
Drop of the sea. Drop of the sea.
What was the first one?
It's a drift of Miriam.
Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved woman of the tower. Okay. All right. What else did y'all find out about Mary Magdalene? There was quite a number of verses that she was in. Oh, Leon, I'll get right back to you, Julie.
Yeah, it was Mary of Magdala. She was from the town of Magdala, and that's on the coast, the east coast of the Galilee, about midway in the Galilee. So, and it's Magdalene is just like Jesus was from Nazareth, and he was a Nazarene. So,
amen.
That's all.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
One of the a teaching, I don't remember where it was or what, maybe this is something that the teaching that Paula was referencing, but I can't remember what it was called. But in the teaching, what I wrote down in my Bible when I was listening to it was that Mary Magdalene represented somebody, an overcomer. She overcome like the seven churches, where because all the overcomers are the ones that receive the rewards, and that Mary was Mary Magdalene. What tower? You know, it's like a tower going up the tower, building up in the tower. They have that represented overcoming the seven churches, that you have to overcome every whatever you have to overcome. That she was one. And like the seven demons is kind of what that represented, being cast out. The seven demons that she had been cast out of her was overcoming those seven church types in the book of Revelation. That's what I wrote down in my Bible after that teaching.
That's good. Yeah. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Greg.
Well, she was the first, I'm going to get beat up over this, the first apostle, as in she carried the, she was the one who carried the message of Christ's resurrection to the rest of the disciples. She was, we've got the seven demons part in there. She was one of, I think, three who anointed Christ as king with the oil, the alabaster jar. There was something else too, but it escapes me right now. Yeah, but it seems the title Mary Magdalene or Mary of Magdalene was given to her at when she did that anointing. I think, and that has connections to memory. Like she was the carrier of the story, if you like.
Okay. Go ahead, Leon.
I don't think she can be an apostle. She can be a disciple, but yeah, I don't think she can be an apostle. I think that's a male office.
As in a special messenger.
A special messenger. Okay.
I told you I'd get beat up.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
Greg, I want to ask you what you meant by, what did you say that about at the end of what you said, bringing forth the gospel or something or whatever it was?
Well, she was the one who, I must get hold of the book and have a look at it. I'll have a rummage around in a second. She was the one who was entrusted with a lot of the memories or the story of what happened to Jesus. Like, bear in mind, like none of the disciples bar John was at the crucifixion. And two, she was the one who was there when the resurrection happened or had happened. You know, as far as, you know, she was with Christ the whole time that the 12 were, as were others as well.
Right.
But yeah, I'll jump up in a second, see if I can find the book I was reading about it, but it had a whole lot about her.
I guess what you said about the anointing is like, you know, what you know, Jesus said, what she has done shall be told in remembrance of her.
Yes.
The gospel, every time the gospel is told, it shall be, you know, in remembrance of her. I can't remember how that's worded. I guess I never put two and two together that it was Mary Magdalene that anointed Jesus, because she was always referred to as Mary Magdalene, and that she had seven demons cast out of her, and she, you know, she was definitely a follower of Christ and disciple, and she was witness there. But I never connected her as the one of the Marys that was anointing her, because it was always a woman unnamed, or it was a woman, Mary, who was from Bethany, who was Martha's sister, Martha and Lazarus' sister, but I never connected that it was Mary Magdalene.
I never did either till I read, and it's not something we're gonna, from what I read, you know, we can go absolutely certain, can't, you know.
we don't know.
It seems that that's the case. It's like, you know, did Paul write the book of Hebrews? We don't really know, but boy, it's in his style a whole lot, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
I find it interesting that she was sent to the apostles, and that is a connotation of what an apostle is, or sent. Not that she had the title of an apostle, but she was definitely a messenger to get everybody else on board to find out what was going on.
The angel told her, go and tell my brethren, and Peter too. And she was instructed to go and tell them, right?
Let's find the passage and read it.
Well, the Lord appeared to her first, too, after the resurrection. I'm reading my notes here. Somebody else talk. Anybody else have anything on Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
She was yes, go ahead.
Mary being the one that anointed his feet with oil, which was for his death and burial, resurrection. I was thinking of Luke where he was talking about the two debtors and how I'm looking at 7:47. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And that's how I look at her, she knew how evil, she knew how bad she was, and she wanted to approach him and to just to bless him with this oil, wash his feet with the oil, and even use her hair to wash him, because she was forgiven of so much. She loved him so much. And I think that she became so dedicated to him that that was special for him. It was special. I think he gave her that special chance to even, you know, see her after he resurrected, because she loved him so much.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
I'm confused. Okay, Mary Magdalene was called Magdalene because she was from Magdala, whatever, right? But if she's the same Mary as the one Martha's sister, they're from Bethany. I don't understand.
There were three Marys.
Okay, but okay, okay, maybe I'm not hearing everybody correctly. Maybe I'm getting y'all confused, but I thought that because I've read it, that Mary of Bethany, Martha's sister, was the one that anointed him with the alabaster flax oil.
That's my understanding also.
Okay.
Okay, Julie, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Leon.
In Luke chapter 7, where Sue is just reading from, for that particular instance, the anointing on Jesus, if you look up above to verse 31, where it says, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that she was at table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment." It doesn't indicate who it is. It says a woman of the city. I always read that scripture as that could be any sinner, because it's whomever. I've been forgiven much. That's me. I've been forgiven much. I know the Lord's blessed me and forgiven me of much. But I don't see, like Missy was saying, I don't believe it's Mary Magdalene that was that particular person who anointed the feet of Jesus. I believe it was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll think it was another Mary. Go ahead, Leah.
Okay, you got two separate instances there. You got Simon, who is a Pharisee, okay? When it's talking about Mary, the sister of Martha, and the sister of Lazarus, that's Simon the leper's house. Two different instances there. And like you said, Julie, that person is not named who was at Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, it could have been Mary, but that's speculation. You know, that's a long speculation for that. So you got two different situations. You got to read the full text and not put in what isn't there. We don't know who the sinner at the Pharisee's house was. You know? You know, or it was you.
It was Julie. Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Party did you waste shot. That alabaster box?
Okay, Greg, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Denny. Let me get Greg. He's had his hand up for a while.
I was going to read what I was looking at from a book called As Resplendent as Rubies. And if you men don't buy it for your wives, then you're done. No, it's really good. But anyway, it talks about a process in 1 Kings 1, 38 to 39, first off, which talks about Solomon going through coronation. It talks about Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet went down and caused Solomon to ride upon the king's donkey, brought him to Gihon, and Zadok took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon with the trumpet. All the people said, "God save King Solomon." All the people came up after him, and people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy. I'm crunching it down. Let me just read on here. First, it's obvious that the role of a priest and a prophet, it is the role of a priest and a prophet to anoint a king. Second, to anoint the king, the priest used a horn of oil. Third, the son of David rode a donkey to his coronation. Fourth, he was taken to Gihon, a spring of water. Fifth, the people rejoiced greatly. Sixth, the people called out, "God save..." Anyway, I don't need to read most of the next page, but let's tick off the coronation next bit involved. Son of David, tick. Riding a donkey, tick. Through Jerusalem, tick. People rejoicing greatly, tick. people wanting to be saved, tick, but wait, when was he anointed? When was he washed? Who performed the kingmaker function? Where was the oil in the spring of water? In ancient times, both anointing oil and living water were absolutely essential ritual elements in a royal coronation. Did Jesus miss out? Well, to discover the answer to that, let's back up 12 hours or so and look at the events of the previous evening. Now, to us, that's the day before, but to Hebrew people, that's for whom a calendar date officially starts at the sunset over the western horizon, it was still part of the same day. Jesus had been invited to dinner in his honour in the village of Bethany, about 3 kilometres from Jerusalem. We learn the timing from John's account of the events. He informs us that it was 6 days before the Passover. He also tells us that Lazarus, Martha and Mary were at the dinner. Luke adds another detail. The host was a Pharisee named Simon. I think that a very similar incident happened twice in the time of Jesus' ministry. And this is the author saying, I don't think so. I don't think it's necessary to draw that conclusion only. So only John sets the dinner in a very specific time frame. John also is the only one to tell us it was Mary who anointed Jesus' feet, and it was Judas who complained about the extravagance. Matthew agreed the events happened in Bethany, and he places it in the last week of Jesus' life. He doesn't mention any feet being anointed, but tells us about the head. Nor does he identify Judas as the culprit when it comes to complaint about the woman's wastefulness. He pins it on all the disciples. Mark is a bit more coy. He concurs with Matthew that, yes, it was Bethany, yes, it was Simon the leper, and yes, Jesus was anointed on the head, but it was, quote, those present, unquote, who did the complaining. Vague, general, and definitely not pointing the finger at any disciples. But he is the one who mentions that the woman was given a tough time and told off harshly by the indignant guests. As I said, I don't think we need two different incidents to account for the different details. I think, like any witness recounting their version of events, the gospel writers emphasize what was important to them. I think that'll do for where I'm going. There's a bit more to read, but let me just see if there's more relating directly to Mary in here. Let's note that the ancient rabbinical world was divided three ways, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. In other words, to become king of the world, Jesus had to be heralded as such by the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. For each, there needed to be a kingmaker. Mary of Bethany was the kingmaker for the Jews. Pontius Pilate, kingmaker for the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Yes, another woman, unnamed, sinful, married 5 times, living immorally with the 6th. But that's going off the topic of Mary Magdalene. Or Mary of Bethany. There's something more in here about the name Magdalene as well. And I'll see if I can find it. I think it relates to our word for amygdala, which has to do with our memory. But as I say, I'm digressing a little bit. Also hogging the microphone, so I'll get off.
Okay. Go ahead, Denny.
Oh, yeah. What I found out was that the one in Luke happened 2 years earlier, because while he was up in Galilee, he left Capernaum and went to Nain, which is the northern part of Galilee, and an unknown sinful woman came. That was that incident. And while he was there, John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus to find out whether he was the one or not. Well, and then John was still alive then. And then John was killed. So this happened about 2 years before the crucifixion, the one in Luke. Now the other, and Matthew and Mark and John, then they're talking about the ones in Bethany. Of course, one was definitely Mary. It says it was Mary, Martha's sister. And in Matthew and in Mark, it just says a woman. But it could be that there was three different anointings. Well, the one in Luke happened 2 years before the crucifixion.
Wasn't there a dispute over the anointing oil being sold in the Matthew version?
I don't know.
I believe there was a dispute in two of them. Mm-hmm. The one where it says they were at Simon the leper's house. And then another one where she's unnamed, but there's a dispute about the money for the oil, the oil that they could sell.
Yeah.
Wasn't one anointing the feet at the beginning of his ministry, and then the other anointing that was his head, right?
It seemed like in Bethany there was head and feet. One happened 6 days before before Passover, and the other one happened 2 days. So he had to be 6 days before. It was before the triumphal entry. I think that's when Mary, Martha's sister, anointed, and then in later 2 days before, then there was another. That's when his head was anointed. So he had the feet and the head anointed in that short time period.
Now, was that Magdalene?
One says it was Mary, Martha's sister. That was the one 6 days before the Passover. The other one just says a woman. It doesn't really give her name. And so now Mary Magdalene being the sinner, she may have been the one in Luke. I didn't find out for sure, but that was 2 years before.
Wasn't the one with Mary and Martha, wasn't that on the Sabbath 2 days before? A couple of days before the crucifixion? It was the Sabbath just before the crucifixion when he rode the donkey in.
One I found that Mary Martha was 6 days before the Passover. That's in John 12.
Okay, John 12.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Yes, in John 12 it says, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that was sat at the table. Now, it doesn't necessarily, you would assume it's at Lazarus's house, but maybe not necessarily. I mean, he could have went over to that other Simon the leper's house, but anyway. But it says, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor. And then one of the disciples, Judas, complained at this time. So that was 6 days before. And when you look in Mark 14, let me see what verses.
It's three.
Three, okay. Now, I thought on this one there, hold on. The right book. Mark 14, verse 1, it says, after 2 days was the feast of Passover and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him. And then when you get to verse 3, and it says, being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, so that seems to be 2 days before the Passover. The other one was 6 days before the Passover. And then a woman came in having an alabaster box of ointment. Like now, the other one mentioned Mary. This one just says a woman. And here she anointed his head, and the other one, his feet was anointed.
They're both done at Bethany, though.
Yeah, the two of them, they were Mary, Martha's sister, was in Bethany, and the woman, who's unnamed, was in Bethany. But the one in Luke was in Nain, in near Capernaum. He just left Capernaum and went to Nain, like I think it's somewhere up right in the Sea of Galilee. But just right as they were there, John's disciples came up and was asking about whether he was the one, and John was still alive, and he would. So that was at least a couple of years before the crucifixion, because then John was killed. You know, then time goes on.
So yeah, but wait.
Pardon?
We're assuming in that account that it's all consecutive, because that's how we would write a story. We would write it consecutively, but Jewish storytellers, or you know, wouldn't necessarily do that. Like John is not a consecutive account. John is written in a style called chiasmus, which is basically, and it's very, very, very clever. It's two reflective events and then two others and then two others and two others and two others, and expands out right to the edges of the gospel. I was just looking at Luke, and yes, it does give the account of John, the delegation from John, but then it's got to stop, like a full stop in a period. And then it gives the account of you know, being at a Pharisee's house and the anointing. And then it goes into other events, but it's not, I'm not saying I'm right, or, you know, but it's not, the accounts are not necessarily consecutive. Like this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And that's an assumption we make, because that's how we tell a story.
Well, but when the one was in Nain, the town of Nain, and then the other two, I mean, and later, right before he died, was it both were in Bethany.
So the one in Luke was in where, sorry?
Nain, N-A-I-N. He had just left Luke 36. You got to go back in Luke and you see that he was in Capernaum. And he left there and went to Nain, and it seemed like this all happened right at that time.
Is this in Luke 7?
Yeah, Luke 7. Uh-huh. At the beginning of 7, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and there are centurion. So then there goes into that story with the centurion. Then in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of the disciples went there with him. Now it came nigh, he's going in, that's when he raised the woman widow that had a son. He raised him, there. He sat up. Okay, and when he was there, when the men came, and the disciples in verse 18, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? And he looked, or should we look for another? And when the men it came unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee. So this was like 2 years before the crucifixion. Art thou he that came? So when he goes in, then it said there was many miracles were done. then while he's still there, then when you get to 36, is when, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat with him, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box and ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with her hair of her head, and he kissed his feet. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke, you know, that's what he said. If he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was. And then he corrected the Pharisee. But all that seemed to be happening up there at that time with Nain. So that was some time before, you know, before. That was like a couple of years before that John died. John died shortly after. I mean, he died early in Jesus' ministry, but he was still alive at this time. So that anointing happened then up in Nain, up in Galilee, and then the other ones happened in Bethany. And the two that happened in Bethany, the one was Mary, you know, 6 days before was Mary, the sister of Martha. Then the one 2 days before was a woman, it just says a woman. Now, it could have been Mary Magdalene then. Well, I don't know if we, I think you're, this, you know, the one in Luke definitely says a sinful woman. So I think they would be assuming that that was Mary Magdalene, but I don't. And it was up near where she lived. Leon, didn't you say that Magdalene was up on the east side of Galilee? I never looked.
Her name.
Yeah. So it might have been anointed. He might have been anointed three different times. It's one of those things that different scholars, all of a sudden you get disputes over it, and I guess you'd have to look at it all. And
I think the 6 day and the 2 day are the same story, and they just got the days mixed up.
Do we have a reference where it says 2 days?
Yes. It just says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, so it seemed like this was 2 days before the Passover, they sat at meat, and came in a woman having an alabaster box. Now, it doesn't give the name. This probably was not Mary, you know, Martha's Mary.
What's the main thing about Mary that we need to know?
Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, you mean?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's who we're talking about, Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Claire.
She was saved by grace, and she was obedient, and she was with him always.
Amen. And the Lord loved her. He did. She was special.
Yeah.
And she loved the Lord, obviously.
What, Missy?
And she loved the Lord, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Much. She loved him very much. Go ahead, Paul.
Paula had her hand up. I think she's got all the information on Mary.
Not at all. Nothing, actually. I've just been making notes because you've blessed me with this. No, the only thing that really stood out for me about Mary was, I would say, the beginning point and the crux and why the Lord loved her so much and she could love the Lord is one word, and it's humility. It all starts there. you know, our relationship with him starts there. And I don't know, it's just something that, that really stands out for me in terms of Mary. And it, it's exactly what he said as well, you know, if it was for Mary Magdalene or the other sinful woman, that those who have been forgiven much, who have been through, you know, who've had the prodigal son experience, they tend to love a lot, and there tends to be a lot of humility, because they know what they are without the Lord. And that's so precious. It's so, yeah, and she's a testimony of that. You know, the seven demons that were torturing her for how long, and you know, it's just encouraging, and that it actually sparks in me that I need to go and listen to David's podcasts again about humility, because it's so powerful. And that just came out now with this discussion.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hi, everybody. I just got to a phone, but I've been thinking about you all. What strikes me about Mary, I mean, why there's so many things we could mention, but she sat at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy, you know, doing what needed to be done to take care of the guests. But Jesus addressed Martha and said, chosen the better part. Just waiting. So she had, and that was not going to be taken away from her. So it's to me, it's like a promise that if I choose the better part, that will not be taken away from me. But he did not condemn Mary for not helping with the guests, but very, very impressive. So I've got a bunch of people calling me, so I guess I better get off the phone here.
Okay. Good to hear from you, Malcolm. Go ahead, Denny.
And, you know, the fact that Jesus' head was anointed and then his feet were anointed, in the typology of it all, you know, Jesus is in the heavens, the head as is in the heavens, and his feet, which is the body, the part that touches the earth, which would be us today on the earth. We, you know, Jesus was anointed head and it was anointed body. We have that same anointing, you know, the same anointing that was, you know, talks about in the Psalm, I think, about the anointing that comes down. The high priest went from his head down his beard to the skirts of his garment and down, you know, it's the same anointing is on the body that is on the head. And so we have that promise or that typology. So I think that's the important thing about his head being anointed and then his feet being anointed before he died. It shows that same anointing was passed on to us. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Denny. Go ahead, Dave.
Also looking that over a little bit about the anointing, it said here, but there were some who were indignant among themselves. Has this ointment been wasted? You know, they were looking at Jesus being anointed with this ointment, about with the alabaster jar, this pure nard. And in a way, you know, that's kind of what they're going to look at us in the same way, aren't they? They're going to think, why was that anointing wasted on that person? These religious people are going to look at us and think, God anointed them? Think about it. That's kind of what the insinuation is here. They're looking at Jesus and saying, why did you waste it on him? Their indignity, the way they look at what should be and way things are in their religious ways and their religious thoughts. And this is so contrary to the way the Lord looks at how he's going to do things.
Amen. What do you think, Paula?
Good, very good.
Okay. All right.
And I like what Dennis also said about the anointing oil, because I also thought about that scripture of Aaron and the oil on his beard, and I actually asked Dirk about it the other day, because the context of this, that scripture is how beautiful it is when brothers dwell in peace with each other. You know, so it's that beautiful brotherly love, and it's like the anointing oil. And I asked him, why the beard? We haven't quite figured that out yet, but anyone has something on the beard, what that represents, and the dripping down all the way to the garments. It's like Denny said, you know, it's the whole body. But I'm not sure about the beard.
Go ahead, Greg. I saw you waving there.
I was just actually looking that up. Let me just post the scripture in the chat. And I was looking up that word, and I don't know if this is the answer, but it's a connotation, because it says Aaron's beard, but it's a connotation to, and it may be referring to, it's a connotation to age, like as in an old man will have a long beard. So I was just looking at that just briefly now, and this is, as I think I've got the end of it, but I think it may have a reference to that, you know, to ages. The Ancient of Days, if you like. I don't know. I'd have to understand Hebrew literature a whole lot more than what I do, but it may be something like that. But I was just looking in Strong's at, you know, what does it say beard? I was thinking the same thing. I might even see if I've still got to post it.
That's right. When Aaron was anointed by Moses, there with the oil, it ran down his head, down his beard. It referred to his beard.
Go ahead, Denny.
Yes. I think the beard represents maturity in manhood. You know, you're recognized as you have a beard. You were a mature man, you know, able to minister. You know, you were of age to minister, you know. So.
I'm just a young guy. Amen.
Yeah, right. In some cultures it means wisdom too. It refers to wisdom. Like, I remember years ago, before China was opened up, a friend of a work colleague came to work, you know, one day, and he'd put on a lot of weight and had grown a beard, which was uncharacteristic. And he said, no, I did it on purpose. What the weight meant, he was prosperous. So when he got on, you know, when you see he was treated well. But the beard meant he was wise. I'm not sure if that's relevant or not, but to the scripture, I mean.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
My beard says I'm lazy.
No, I think you have employment you're looking at here about December. That's what you're looking for.
You're just in the race, Leon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Claire, was that addressed at me?
Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Will, go ahead, brother.
So, I'm sorry, that was by accident. Sorry.
Oh, okay. It's no problem. Okay. Anybody got any more expounding to do on Mary Magdalene? She was a fine lady. Yeah, Julie.
In a sense, I see Mary Magdalene as very devoted to the Lord, kind of like the Shulamite, you know, who's running after Jesus. So in another sense, I see
Mary Magdalene as a type of the bride, in a sense, too.
What do you attribute that the Lord saw her first after the resurrection?
I don't know, except she just really loved the Lord, and she... devotion. I just see devotion and a great love and admiration, and she knew the value of who he was.
Yeah.
I don't know why he chose her.
Oh, Claire.
In one of the Gospels, it says that they retreated after Jesus was crucified. The disciples left because they were fearful. It uses the word fearful. But she didn't show fear. And I think she didn't show fear because she had lived a life of fear. She'd lived a life of complete and utter possession. And when you freed from that possession, and I can speak from experience, when you freed from that, you just don't have the fear because he takes it away completely. And she had nothing to lose. She was, in essence, dead girl walking because he had made her new in those 3 years that she walked with him. So she didn't have the fear, and that's why she was able to go to the tomb, and that's why she didn't care if there were Roman soldiers there or anything. She went. She was, in a sense, she was anointed for that job, even though she was the one who maybe did one of the anointings prior. So she didn't have the fear, and that's what the Bible says. Like, don't expect anything if you've got fear. Fear is faith in reverse. So we have to cast out fear so that we can be like Mary, so that the Lord will reveal himself to us and in us.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, Claire, because I was wondering about that. I was not the fear part that answered the question, because I was thinking to myself, well, how did Mary put on Jesus? I mean, it seemed like it looked like she was the great, humble disciple and at his feet and just willing to serve. But the fact that you said that she died to self, she no longer had fear because she was delivered. She was living for Christ at that point. That answers that question, because she had put on Christ. Because I was trying to figure out how do these new new Christians in the New Testament, which didn't have all the revelation we have about being sons of God, how did they put on Christ? Where was that at? I was trying to find that fit. Well, you just answered that question. She had that. She put on Christ.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Julie.
What was just coming to me is what Claire was saying is, you know, she was there. They went to the tomb, and the only thing they were really concerned about was who's going to move the tomb away, you know, that big old rock from the one. The door of the tomb, and they were fearful when they saw the angels. You know, they were astonished about them. But the other thing that was just coming to me was that they were going to anoint his body. Again, they're going to anoint his body with the spices, things that they were going to do that to him again, even after his death. Again, it's just devotion. Devotion and obedience. That was culture. That was what they did.
Okay. It's been a good discussion. Anything else? Have we missed anything about Mary? Well, all right. Has anybody got a subject for next Tuesday? Yeah, Claire.
Maybe we can talk a bit about music. What music says, what the Bible says about music, and what that means. Because the more I look at it, and the more I try and study it, the more I see something that I see that music comes from Cain's line, not from Seth's line. I see that Jesus says he was a deceiver from the beginning, but then there's this other part of Christianity that says that the deceiver was the choir master. And I'm not sure how to reconcile these things.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about, you're talking primarily of Christian music, aren't you?
Oh yeah, we don't care about the secular stuff. I mean, that should fall.
Amen. Okay, we can do that. We'll have a discussion on Christian music. There's all kinds of information out there on that. Also, just the Word of God is what we need to go by.
Yeah, so it's not, I'm not coming from a place of judgment or, you know, specific styles, yeah. But just literally, I mean, it could be a 15-minute discussion. I don't think it warrants 2 hours, but it might just be enough to just, you know, see what the Bible says, because I think there's lots of stuff that creeps in.
So you want to discuss whether or not music is part of the culture of the Bible. Is it in there?
Music as an act of worship and what its place is, I think, yeah, like, yeah, is it part of the culture? Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. All right, anybody got anything we need to pray about before we dismiss tonight, before we close out? Okay, well, Father, we thank you for this discussion on Mary Magdalene. It brought out a few things that I hadn't even thought about. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, we ask and we pray that everybody would stay in the Word. And David just put out a message that we don't need to be news junkies. We need to be, you know, in the Word, like you encouraged us with Debbie's word that she got. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that these next days that we have, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in the things that you would have us to look at, to pray about, and be led by you, Lord, to do whatever it is that you want us to do. Not what we want to do, because we're coming to a time, as you told Debbie and us through your word, is that we're going to have to be able to be led by your spirit and by our spirit, which is filled with you. And Father, we ask and we pray for guidance in that area. And we thank you, Lord, that we can believe that it's happening. And I ask and I pray for your protection upon everybody here over this next few days. And that your protection is upon them and your angels around about them, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that Theo and Lana and his dad and all that family is going to have an awesome time this weekend. And we thank you for that too, Lord. And all the rest of us too, Father, that as long as we keep our eyes on you, everything's going to be fine. Nothing to worry about, because we know that you orchestrate everything that goes on around us, Lord, to find out and test us and to keep us on our toes listening to you. And Father, I just praise you for doing that in all of us, because just like Mary Magdalene, all of us have been humbled at times, and hopefully that worked, and we don't have to be humbled again. And Lord, we thank you for your word. That's a standard that we live by, And I thank you for all the healings, Lord, that are taking place, that have taken place. And we just thank you, Lord, for being our God. Your grace is just so astounding to me. And I'm glad that you're showing us how to look through your eyes rather than our eyes at each other, because you look at us with love, and sometimes we do a little judging there. And Lord, I thank you for letting us all have your heart, placing your heart in ours, Lord, that we can love everybody. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We ask and we pray, Father, for a good night's sleep for everybody here until we meet again. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And so we just say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for being our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right.